Our scripture this morning, again, is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've read verses 6 through 12, but our primary concern will be verse 12, so I will read those verses again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this world, or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed from before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man has imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. May God richly bless both the reading and the hearing of his holy word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning primarily with the 18th verse, the Apostle Paul makes the case that the message of the cross is a revelation of the power of God. He calls it the message of the cross, and in it he says it is the revelation of the power of God. However, it is seen as the power of God, not by everyone. In fact, he goes on to make the case that it is seen as the power of God only by those who are being saved. Now, he also says that to those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness to them. Now, Paul goes on in chapter 1 to explain that God is pleased to reveal his power and his wisdom in things that appear to be weak and to be foolish, so that those who are saved would glorify God in their embrace of his grace, so that at the end of the day, those who glory, as Paul goes on to say, that they would glory in the cross. Their glory, their boast, would not be on their ability. It would not be on their power. It would not be on that they see themselves as being somehow more spiritual or special than anyone else. If anyone is saved, then their boast will solely be in God. No one will be saved who says, boy, didn't we do it? No, the only people that are saved, they will be saved because they will be able to say, I am a wretch undone. There's nothing that I can do. I see my utter unworthiness, and I throw myself upon the mercy of God, and they are received by God, and they see in the message, the simple, foolish message of the cross, all of the dynamics of God's power. I like what Isaiah says. He says, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And then he speaks of Jesus. He says, there was nothing comely in him that we should desire him, but the sinner that has been moved by God's grace sees in the distorted, the tortured face of the Savior, the open wounds flowing with blood. They see it as the gift of eternal life. And a foolish of the unbelievers, those who are perishing, they just see a dying man. That's one of the reasons I said at the time that the movie about the crucifixion from Mel Gibson, that I understand what they're trying to do, but boy, what they're trying to portray through Hollywood can only be portrayed by the Spirit. You can't capture what makes that a beautiful scene. You can't capture some of the gore of what makes it so dreadful on the part of men. But what makes that a saving message is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul makes, the point that he makes here, that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But the message of the cross, it is the power of God to those who are being saved. Now, the reason there is a distinction between how this message is understood is because of the work of the Spirit. You see, those upon whom the Spirit is not at work, those in whom the Spirit does not give eyes to see, they only see defeat. But those who have been gifted by grace, to them they see in the message of the cross, by the illuminating, enabling, and empowering work of the Spirit, they see in this nothing less than the revelation of the power of God. And so therefore, Paul sets forth in verses 4 and 5 here of chapter 2, he makes it a point that the reason he has preached what he has preached, the reason he has preached, he opens the chapter by saying, I didn't come declaring to you excellent words. I didn't come with craftiness. I didn't come with great rhetorical gifts. I didn't come as a charismatic speaker. And I love the way Paul reasons here. He says, it's not like I couldn't, but I didn't. I didn't come as an erudite and urbane speaker. I came to you with the simplicity of speech, and I came to you declaring a single, simple message. And that message is Jesus and Him crucified. And Paul goes on to say in verses 4 and 5 here, he says, the reason I did this is so that you would see that the power is in God. I did this, he says, so that your power, that the power would be of God and your faith would not be in the skills of men, but rather your faith would be in God. I came as a demonstration, he says, of the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. And then in verse 6 and through the rest of the chapter, he devotes himself to outlining the dynamics of the Spirit in revealing the things of God to the people of God. Now, as we consider this text that is before us, I want to focus on verse 12, but let me do this. Let me call attention to something before we turn our attention to verse 12. You see, for Paul, the point that he is making is he jam-packs everything about the gospel into that single statement, the message of the cross. And for Paul, the message of the cross is not only the message of our salvation, but the message of the cross is also a revelation of everything that God gives to us in the gospel. And so it is a revelation of all of God's gifts, and that's why he goes on to say that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But then he says, but these things have been revealed to you by his Spirit. And so where do we find what God has provided for us? Where is the place that we can get a good summary of everything that God has for believers? Brothers and sisters, the place for that is the cross. Everything that God has for us is in the cross. Everything that makes us different from unbelievers is found in the cross. So therefore, it's not in some of the places that we might think. It's not even, and that's why he says, what not only the wisdom that is required to comprehend this, and not only the power that is displayed here, but even the gifts and the beauty of the gifts that are given by God can't be understood by this world. He says it's foolishness to them. That's one of the things that gets me, among many, that gets me about word faith theology, you know, the prosperity gospel. You see, everything that they celebrate, You don't have to be a believer to be happy about new cars. There's no, I mean, you can, if you're telling me that that here is the proof of the love and the power of God is in giving you cars, you don't have to be a believer to see how desirable it is if you have no car or an old car to want a new car. You don't have to be a believer to want to serve a God that casts out every disease. So if I get sick, that I won't stay sick because he will heal me. You don't have to be a believer to believe to love that kind of power. You don't have to be a believer to love the kind of power that will set your house in order, make your children behave. Right? But the power of God, the power of God that is on display in the cross doesn't always buy new cars, doesn't heal every disease, and allows you to have disagreeable children. Might drive you crazy. The God, here is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation, the power of God on display in the cross of Christ allows for brokenness. And in it, God's power and grace is revealed. Now, here's what people will say. How can you keep going down to that church every Sunday and you still can't pay your bills? Because we don't go down to the church to learn how to pay our bills. I keep going to church and I still can't get domestic peace because we don't go to church to get domestic peace. We go to church to hear about the peace that passes all understanding, which is set forth in the cross of Christ. So here's what I'm saying, that the message of the cross is not just the message unto salvation, which it is. It is not just the message of what God gives us, it is. But brothers and sisters, the message of the cross and what we are illumined by the Spirit to see is what the life that God empowers us to live. I want to focus on three things in particular that I would pray, because here's my point is that as we understand what the message of the cross is, you see, this is what strengthens us, and this is the message that we are to hear over and over and over again. It's because it's not just the message of how to get saved, and that's what's interesting to me about believers when we talk about evangelism. We think that evangelism is just for unbelievers. No, you need the gospel every day. But here's the part of it. Here's the part of what we want to see in this passage. You see, as we understand what God has called us to be and called us to do, we understand that it is in the cross itself that how we are to live is determined, because the power of God is on display in the message of the cross, and the life that we have been called to live is enabled and empowered by what is revealed in the message of the cross. The message of the cross is proclaimed to us in the hearing of the gospel, and the message of the cross is reiterated to us every time we come to the table. And here's what Paul is warning, or here's what he's exhorting believers to do. And notice what he says, in fact, in verse 12. That's what I want our focal point to be. In verse 12, he says, "Now we have not received the spirit of the world." So basically what he's saying is that our understanding of God, of life, and of ourselves is not according to the wisdom of the world. Now what we'll look at in a moment are three particular dimensions of our life. that we need to look at, not according to the wisdom of the world, but according to the wisdom of God set forth in the cross. Now, he says that we are not, he says, therefore, in verse 12, he says that now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things that are freely given to us by God. That we might understand the things. I like that phrase. In some translations, it will read that we might know the things. That we might know, that we might be able to comprehend with the whole of our hearts as well as our minds the things that God has given to us freely. And now here's what he's saying is that understanding these things freely through the and seeing it as the power of God, somehow it is on display in the gospel, in the message of the cross, in three areas of our lives. And I suggest that this that we need to see this. In other words, that we need to see these three areas through the wisdom of God revealed in the message of the cross and not according to the wisdom of the world. Three areas. One, sin. Two, love. And three, fellowship. It is important that we see sin not according to the wisdom of the world. The world sees sin, but the world sees sin differently. If we see sin the way the world sees sin, whether it's our own sin or the sins that others commit against us, then we continue in darkness. But here's what the world can't see. Here is what has been revealed to us in the message of the cross. Let me talk about personal sins, our sins. Let us see our sins the way God sees our sins through the wisdom of the cross. First off, we have to understand what sin is, right? Sin is violating God's holy law. Sin is violation of God's holy law. God's law has been separated according to two directions. It focuses on those things that God has required us to do for him in devotion. And then it focuses on things that God has required of us in our dealings with each other. Those are the two tables of the law. Loving the Lord our God with all of our heart and our neighbor as ourselves. Those are the two tables of the law. Now, let's focus on the second table of the law. The second table of the law tells me that I'm supposed to look at a total stranger and love them as much as I love that face I see every day in the mirror. Trust me. You need cross power in order to see folk that way. You're not going to see your neighbor as you ought without the power of the cross. You're not going to see them. And so therefore your sin against your neighbor, you will not see it as sin if you follow the wisdom of the world. When we speak evil against our neighbors, the world says they had it coming. The world says it's true. That's what the world says, and I speak truth. But the cross shows us a different way. The cross says that if I have spoken ill against my neighbor, if I've been angry with my brother without a cause, then I am guilty of murder. You don't see that apart from the message of the cross. You don't see that. You don't see that your unbridled, unprovoked anger against your brother is murder. You don't see that apart from the cross. Brothers and sisters, here's what I'm saying. Here's what we need. The Spirit. You need the Spirit. You need the Spirit to reveal to you what the message of the cross is concerning sin. Here, the world calls it errors. errors. That's what they call it. They say that we make errors. They say to err is human. That's what they say. That's the world that says that. And so as long as I'm committing errors, then I can live with myself. As long as I made a mistake, I can live with myself. But here's what we need to see through the cross. We need to see sin through the cross so that we see in us that which we can't live with. That's what the cross is about. It's about dying. And I can live with errors. That's why you got erasers. That's why you've got delete buttons, because errors can be fixed. But we need to see sin not according to the wisdom of the world, but we need to see sin according to the wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross says that sin is an indictment against God. It's an injustice against God, and you have violated the highest law of the land. We can't sleep knowing you that guilty. That's why we need the, and too many Christians, I'm not talking about unbelievers, I'm not talking about those who don't see the power of God in the message of the cross, because they still don't get it. But here's Paul's warning and admonition to the Corinthian believers. You who believe the message of the cross unto salvation, use the message of the cross to see the rest of your life. In fact, that's what he's challenging them. If you look at the balance of this letter, he's wondering, message of the cross, that God has sent his son to die for our sins, and then what's the life that's lived as a result of it? We take our brothers and sisters to court. He says, no, there's something wrong here. Somehow, somebody, he talks about the problem of the young man who was caught up in sexual immorality with his father's wife. And he says, no, this is according to the wisdom of the world is what enables you to be comfortable with that. He says, even unbelievers are not doing something like that, and you're comfortable with it. He sits every Sunday in your worship service, and you don't have a problem with that? The message of the cross ought to enable us to see sin for what it is. Brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about everybody else's sin. I'm talking about ours. Oh, brothers and sisters, here's the problem. I speak for myself that the sins that I have consciously just continued in, why? It's because I saw it not through the lens of the cross, but the lens of the world. The world justifies our own particular behaviors because the world has no heaven or hell. They don't care. Here's what I'm saying. I pray that as we hear the gospel open to us and as we receive the gospel with our hands, that we would look to the message of the cross and see the power of God dealing with sin. See sin through the cross. Don't see sin through the news headlines. See sin through the cross. And when you see sin through the cross, here's what you see. The only begotten of God, forsaken by his Father. Here's what you see. You see judgment being poured down upon him. You see the greatest display of divine wrath that will ever be seen until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters, the least of your sins, that's what Jesus did with it. That's how God treated the least of your sins. And therefore, as we see our sin through the illumination of the Spirit in the message of the cross, I pray that we would be more prone to confess and repent, so that that which came upon the Son does not come upon him in vain. You see, here's what I think Paul is saying, that we need to understand self through the message of the cross, and we begin with sin. Why? Because it's too easy for us not to see sin as God sees it. But here's the second area that I think we can see ourselves through the lens of the cross, and that is we need to see love through the cross. Again, there are competing models of love. There are competing messages of love, and every form of love doesn't need a cross. But here's what the cross does. The cross purifies all human love. In fact, not only does it purify it, the cross proves the dynamic of love. In fact, let's look at a couple of passages here, two in particular. One is in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and the Apostle Paul, who wrote our text, says this, and he talks about love. Here's where love, if you want to learn how to love, if you want to learn something about love, look at the cross and make sure that our conception of love is mediated first through the cross before we take it anywhere else. In verse 8, but God shows his love for us. Okay, so husbands, here's the challenge that they, when the scripture says in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loves the church. Here's what we see in common with Christ's love for the church and God's love for us, that the love of Christ for the church cost something dear to the Son, his life. And it cost the Father something dear, his Son. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here is the greatest demonstration of the greatest love. Love doesn't wait. Amen. Isn't that? I know, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I know that's what happens when we become a sloganized culture, because everybody says true love waits. Yeah, no. True love, we're not talking about that kind of love. True love doesn't wait. True love doesn't wait for people to get right in order to start loving. Love flows from the lover to the beloved even before. There are so many people that you are just waiting to love, right? Soon as they act right. But here's the dynamic of love. Love doesn't wait. Love, because it loves, catches us where we are and picks us up where we are and begins to give itself where we are. Anybody can jump on the bandwagon when you get right. But love finds us when we're at our worst and makes us what we ought to be. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you want to love, I pray that you would listen to the message of the cross. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle John says something very similar. He says, beginning in verse 9, he says, beginning in verse 9, he says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Here's what Paul said, or John says, that if God loved us, we ought to so love one another. And we'll never get a manual on how to love until we get the gospel clear in our thinking. But let me close. Here's the third thing that is a part of the message of the cross and the wisdom that God reveals through the Spirit in the message of the cross is as it relates to fellowship. How do we deal with other folk? Now, love, that's a broad concept, and we can speak of it in the abstract. And love, it does include unbelievers and as well as believers, because we're to love our neighbors as well as our brothers. But you know, even when we love, we do have a difficulty and a defect in fellowship. And one of the reasons our fellowships are oftentimes unnecessarily rocky is because we view our fellowships through the wisdom of the world and not the wisdom of the cross. You say, well, you know, she's just hard to get along with. Well, God, you hated God. You hated God. That's the one he loved. You hated God. And God loved you while you were still his enemy. Last I checked, difficult to get along with is different from being an enemy. You see, and here's what we learn. Listen, Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, the apostle says this, and here is his dynamic. He's actually speaking about Christian fellowship, and he uses, in his discussion on Christian fellowship, he uses the language, really, of love. Love as learned from Christ through the cross. Romans 15, beginning in verse 1, it says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell upon me. For whatever was written in former days were written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may be with one voice, or you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Fellowship. You see, oftentimes we allow the world, and by the world, that doesn't necessarily mean picking up worldly books. It means following the dictates of your own nature. Because the world is still in you. And so greater is he who is in you, but the world is in you, and the impulse to view sin, the impulse to view love, the impulse to view fellowship through your own experience is great. And that's why we need the message of the cross, because the cross tells us that sin is more than the world tells us. Loving means more than the world tells us. And brothers and sisters, fellowship means more than the world tells us. And therefore, here's what we need: the message of the cross. Draw me nearer to the cross so that I can know how I ought to see my sins, because left by myself, I'll find a justification for it every time. Left to myself, I'll find a reason not to love as I have been loved by Christ every time. Left to myself, I will define my fellowships according to the standards of the world every time. You fool me once, shame on me, on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. No, the scripture says, brothers and sisters, here's what it says, bear with. What if you knew everything there was to know about Judas before you met him? What would you do if you knew that Judas, you knew what he was going to be and what he was going to do before you saw him coming? I don't mean had an inclination that he might. You knew what he was before. Would you have him on any of your, would you let him be treasurer? He wasn't even a believer. But knowing who he was, Jesus still allowed him in the circle. Knowing, what if you knew that Peter would act a fool? What if you knew what Peter was? Would you still call on him? Well, just when I needed him, right? No, Jesus lets him in from the very beginning. Let us view as we receive of the Lord's table. See the power of God in the power in the message of the cross. And as you receive of the broken body, as you receive of the cup of the Lord, I challenge you to view sin through that cup. And I challenge you to view love through that cup. And I challenge you to view your fellowship with like-minded believers through that cup. Because it is foolishness to the world. But in that cup and in that broken body, in that message of the cross, it is the power of God. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for him. But it has been revealed to you by his Spirit. Now, what has God prepared for us that's on display in the cross? It is the ability to love like him. It is the ability to see sin like he does. And it is the ability to experience fellowship in the same way that the triune God does. I pray when we eat that God would open our eyes to see these things through his wisdom and not through the wisdom of the world. Let's pray.